So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 23rd chapter, text 45. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nanu Swarta Vimudanam Brahmatanam Grehehuya Aho Na Asmarayam Asha Gopa Vakyahe Satam Yatahi Nanuswarta Vimudanaham Pramatanam Grehehoya Aho nasmarayamasa Gopa vakyaya satam gatahi Nanu swarta vimudanaham Pramatanam grihehaya Aho nasmarayamasa Gopavakyae satam gatahi Nanu swarta vimudanam Pramatanam grehehaya Aho nasmarayamasa Gopa vakyaya satam gatahi. Okay. Anuswarta vimudanam Brahmatanam grehe hoya.
Anisanshaka.
Bhavavakya satam gatahi. Okay. Nanu, indeed. Swarta, about their own true benefit. Vimudanam, who were bewildered. Brahmatanam, who were intoxicated. Graha ihaya, with their household endeavors. Aho. Naha as smarayam asa He reminded about Gopavakyahai by the words of cowherds, Satam of the transcendental souls, Gatahi, the ultimate destination. So translation. Indeed, infatuated as we are with our household affairs, we have deviated completely from the real aim of our life. But now just see how the Lord, through the words of these simple coward boys, has reminded us of the ultimate destination of all true transcendentalists. So you can repeat. Indeed, infatuated as we are with our household affairs, we have deviated completely from the real aim of our life. But now just see how the Lord, through the words of these simple coward boys, has reminded us of the ultimate destination of all true transcendentalists. So, there's no purport by the followers of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. I'm just going to read some of the commentaries. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states, as he is full in his desires, ever satisfied, what need does he have of us? It cannot be anything else except causeless mercy, anyata. The Lord begging for food is demeaning for him. It is a criticism of our material activities, vidam banam. And Jiva Goswami says, this verse shows how Krishna is Uttama Shloka, Swargapavargayo Pungsam Rasayam Bhuvi Sampadam. Sarva Sam Apisidhi Nam Mulam Tach Charana Charachanam. Devotional service to the Lord's lotus feet is the root cause of all perfections. A person can find in heaven in liberation in the subterranean regions and on earth. That's from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.81.19. There can be no perfection of goals without bhakti. Thus they say it is certain, Nunam, that they have deviated. They were completely bewildered about their goal because they were completely involved in household rites. He has made us bewildered by involvement in household duties. Remember him, since he is the goal of those who surrender to him according to individual qualification, as mentioned in the Vedas, Satam Gatahi. Or he is the goal of the devotees. Thus, only by mercy have we been made to realize him. Actually, wrong English. This is to realization him anyway. Or he is the shelter of devotees who are most merciful. Oh, how astonishing. Aho. Though he educated us, since he is most merciful, as Uttama Shloka, we being unintelligent do not understand. And finally, Sanatana Goswami states, why did he ask us for rice? Nanu, perhaps indicating questioning, or this verse shows how Krishna is Uttama Shloka. Certainly, Nanu, we were ignorant of our real interest, bhakti, since we were absorbed in household activities, inattentive to the Lord, or we were completely insane with household actions. And completely proud, he made us remember him because he is the goal of persons following Dharma. We were absorbed in sacrifices, thinking we were following Dharma. Or he is the goal of the devotees. How astonishing, aho. Though he is understood to be most worthy of praise, we did not realize this because of our stupidity. It's actually very interesting. So again, the verse. Hold on a second. Nanu swarta vimu anam pramatanam grahe hoya aho nas marayam asa gopa vakyai satam gataki. So omagana timidanda shaganjana shalakaya chakshur and meditam yena tasmai shigurve namaha. So this verse is actually quite interesting. So vimu danam and pramatanam are very interesting words. And of course, vimuda, mudha is actually a, it's really a derogatory term. Like Prabhupada would use this quite often. And he said, they are simply mudhas. Mudha meaning, of course, in this particular case, not in this particular case, in general, that someone is an ass. An ass, as Prabhupada described, as carrying a very heavy burden, thinking he's going to have some happiness by taking a little grass, which he could get anyway, even if he wasn't serving a master. So that's very much our situation too, of course. Hopefully not our situation. That we are working very, very, very hard just for a little bit of sense gratification, and which would be obtainable anyway, because one's happiness in this material world is actually built in from the time one is born. In other words, it's how much happiness you're going to have, how long a life you're going to have, that's already built in at the time you're born. How many breaths you're going to have. So that's why if you breathe real hard, like I do running up and down the street, I'm shortening. No, not really. It's not for a devotee. It doesn't apply. But that's why the yogis, they could live a long life because they would control their breaths like that. So anyway, it's all built in, but still we're working hard for a little morsel, for a little sense gratification, for a little happiness. So that's mudha. So vimudha nam, as mentioned here, means one who is actually, of those, actually, just to be precise Sanskrit-wise, it means those who are bewildered. Of those who are bewildered. And similarly, you have this word, pramatta-nam. Pramatta-nam is also another very interesting word. It also means of those who are basically mad. So the word mata, not mata, mata, sorry, it's pronounced a little bit differently. When you say mata, that means mother. Which hopefully she's not mad. But anyway, mata means, actually it's described by Srila Prabhupada elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, it means mad, like an ass running here and there. Just the word mata. And then when you have the word pra in front of it, prakrsti rupena jayate, you know, as Prabhupada would define it, means still more mad. It's like an emphasis. So of those, they're really feeling remorseful here because they're saying, vimudanam, we're like asses and we're really crazy because we're grahe haya or household activities. So we're very attached to the household activities. Of course, they are referring to household activities that are not like the Vikarmi's household activities. Oftentimes we use the word karma not in the right sense, or karmis not in the right sense, saying people who are not Krishna conscious are karmis. They're not. They may be karmis or they may be Vikarmis. Generally, in the Western world and also in India, they're Vikarmis. Vikarmis means what? That they're actually performing activities that will drag them down through the lower modes of nature and get them punished by Yamaraj. And generally, those who are attached to household life, attached to sense gratification, they are executing vikarmic activities which drag them down and get them punished by Yamaraj. And that's described by Lord Rishabhadev in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yadindriya pritya aprinoti. Very interesting verse. It says, those who are, the same word is used, nunam pramata. Same, you know, same expression. Pramata, that means they're mad or very mad. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. Those people execute vikarmic activities. Because yadindriya pritya aprinoti. What does that mean? That they are considering the satisfaction of their senses to be very important or dear, priya. Just like you have this word priya that is sometimes used in household life. Of course, a modern word would be sweetie. As an inside joke
with someone.
Anyway, in the South of the United States, you can be called, you know, I've been at buying things at Walmart and the cashier calls me sweetie sometimes. But Priya means like dear. So we are Indriya Pritya Aprinoti. In other words, we're considering our senses or the sense gratification to be very important or very dear to us. At Indriya Pritya Aprinoti. Anyway, so Lord Rishabhadev was talking about this, but this doesn't really apply in the case of the brahmanas here, because they're not engaged in gross sense gratification. They're actually following the first principle of material affairs, which is dharma. You know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So dharma means like religious activities, not necessarily connected with Krishna. And this means basically they are civilized and moral. They're not just like uncivilized, like most of the people in America. Sorry about this. Uncivilized means that there's no rules and regulations, or maybe even civilized, that you have your sense gratification under rules and regulations. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives this whole hierarchy of humans, you know, beginning with people that are almost inhuman or unhuman or prehuman. And he says that the first designation for human beings is the uncivilized human beings. Uncivilized means basically, like Prabhupada would use the word aborigine. Now, that's not a criticism of the aborigines in Australia or anything like that, but Prabhupada used that word. Or another word that Prabhupada, they use in India is jungli. That's where the English word jungle comes from. In other words, jungle people. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives this whole hierarchy. He says, you know, first there's uncivilized people, then there's civilized people, then there's scientific people. Of course, civilization doesn't necessarily mean pious civilization. I mean, like Ravana, he was civilized, but he wasn't very pious. So the hierarchy is, you know, then after uncivilized, you have civilized, but civilized just means you have some social contract. I think you all know what a social contract is. Social contract is we all agree to follow a certain amount of rules so we don't eat each other and kill each other, and we can maximize our sense gratification. That's just basic civilization. And then after civilized life, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you have scientific life. Scientific means, you know, you're investigating the matter, you think that matter is everything. And then after that, you have moral life. He gives a whole hierarchy. It's really interesting in the Shikshamrita. Then after that, you have spiritual life. But that's not the culmination. That's not the goal. Because even higher than spiritual life is what? Anyone know? Devotional life. You know, devotional. Because spirit is also transcendental. You know, Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi. I mean, that's like spirituality. But then after that, you have devotional life. So, or bhakti, as we say. So these particular personalities we're talking about here, they were moral and following the rules and regulations, not exactly spiritual. They were followers of the Vedic literature. They weren't engaged in gross sense gratification like most people in America. You know, they were on a pretty high level, very, very high level, these brahmanas. So don't think that they were just like nunam pramata, kurute vikarma yada indriya pritya apranoti. They had some moral principles. So anyway, So, but they were very much confused and attached to their moral principles or their so-called religious principles. And this leads to pride. Queen Kunti in the Bhagavatam, the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and her prayer, she talks about the pride that arises through different means. She says, Janmaishvarya Shrutasya Shibir Edamana Adapuman, that one becomes prideful not only because of, you know, beauty, you know, generally one becomes very prideful because of beauty, Shibir, or prideful because of good birth, or prideful because of money. Like if you have a lot of money, make a lot of golf courses and hotels in your name. Like if I had a lot of money, I'd have the Bir Krishna Tower and the Bir Krishna Goswami golf course. So, it's interesting. So Janmaishvarya or good birth. I mean, I know in the family that I was brought up in, it was considered that we were one of the chosen people. So it's, you know, a very good birth, and all of the rest of you are just like, you know, going to hell or wherever you're going. It doesn't really matter to me because we're chosen. So like my mother would always say, we're the best family. And I would ask her, why do you say that? She said, well, because we are. So Janmaishvarya Shrutasya, like the Brahman is here, they're very proud of their Shrutasya, their learning. So this pride deviates one from the real goal of life. Janmaishvarya Shrutasya Shibir Edamana Ada Puman. And therefore, they became very attached to their studies of the Vedic literatures, not understanding the purpose of the Vedic literatures. And in that light, I'd like to read from the Bhagavad Gita. I actually wrote down these verses from the Bhagavad Gita, where it describes these brahmanas' situation. And this is in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, beginning with verses 42, actually for quite a few verses, 42 to 46 in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. These brahmanas, actually, their consciousness or previous consciousness, which they're lamenting about, is actually described. So in the 42nd, let's just start. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruit of activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there's nothing more than this. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment, now we're talking about subtle sense enjoyment in the case of the brahmanas. They were not gross sense gratifiers. And material opulence, and those who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. And then text 45, the Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature, O Arjuna. And Krishna is stating here, become transcendental to these three modes, be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. Trigunya, actually I know this verse, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtrigunya Bhavarjana Nirjwandvo Nitvasatvasto Niryogikshema Atmavan. And then the final verse is really interesting. All purposes served by the small well can but once be served by the great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. In other words, the brahmanas didn't know the purpose behind the Vedas. Sometimes that's described as not seeing the forest for the trees, you know, just being so much immersed in the middle of the forest and all these different rituals and everything like that. And we actually find that even within our own community, that people are so much immersed in all these little details they don't understand the ultimate goal or the vision of the Krishna consciousness movement. I mean, just to be very specific, the ultimate goal, of course, on an individual basis, is for us to realize the Supreme Personality of God and realize our eternal nature and relationship with Krishna, become pure devotees, please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, that's one, that's a personal vision. And then on a wider scope, the goal is to actually save this world. And therefore, in that light, sometimes, you know, adjustments are made. Actually, we find that Srila Prabhupada made many, many adjustments. And there are statements that when an acharya like Srila Prabhupada, because we're not acharyas, obviously, in the same way. We should be acharyas in the sense of setting a good example. When an acharya like Srila Prabhupada does something, that is Vedic by definition. That's part of the Vedas. And actually, another point is that when acharyas write something or say something or write poetry, like Prabhupada said, the works of Narottama Das Thakur, these other great devotees, that's part of the Vedas, just as Vedic is anything else, or actually, frankly, even more Vedic, because it points out the goal of life. So, you know, the words of the acharya, in one sense, they actually tell us how to understand the acharyas. They tell us how to understand the Vedic literatures. So anyway, so the vision is, like Prabhupada's vision is, you know what, Tadvag Visargo Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Prati Slokma Vadavachapi Namana Nantasha Yasho Nikatani Yat Shunvanti Gayanti Grinanti Yat Sadavaha. What does that mean? These words, of course, that's describing the words of the Bhagavatam and the words of the pure devotees. These words are meant to create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. And Prabhupada would quote that because this verse also indicates that even if the words are improperly composed, in other words, Prabhupada's English was not, at least in the original Bhagavatams, was not perfect according to literary standards, they still have that potency of doing that. So Prabhupada's whole vision was to create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. And that is the purpose, you know. We mentioned the individual purpose and the overall purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. So people don't understand that. Why don't they understand that when they're studying the Vedic literatures or different things like the Bharadraj Samhita? That's an interesting thing we've been talking about, the Bharadraj Samhita. People use that to justify, I'm not going to tell you what the Bhadraj Samhita says because it's just going to be controversial. They use that to justify discrimination based on the bodily platform. And people who use it to justify discrimination based on the bodily platform between different genders don't understand that same discrimination should be applied to them, isn't it? Because according to the Bhadraj Samhita, the rest of us should be just like having our noses in the stool, not even be allowed to come into the temple to see the deities almost, except on the Rath Yatra day that we could see Lord Jagannath. So anyway, so one has to understand the purposes or the purpose of the Vedas, which the Brahmanas didn't understand. And it's understandable why they didn't understand it, because as described in the Mahabharata, what? Tarko Pradishta Shuti Na Vivina. The Vedas are what? Multi-branch. There's much information in the Vedas, or as I just quoted that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nishrigunya Bhavarjana, that the Vedas mainly deal with the modes of nature, because most people are in the modes of nature and they're not ready to accept bhakti. So therefore, you have to give them something so they become at least civilized or moral. Like we were talking about previously, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's hierarchy of human beings. So, you know, it's better to be civilized. Of course, better to be moral. For me, it's better to be scientific. But anyway. That's less than moral. Anyways, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So it's better to be moral, civilized, or even spiritual. We understand the highest is bhakti or devotional. But if you can't do the highest, at least, you know, be civilized. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave that hierarchy. So the brahmanas, you know, they were moral people. And they were good people. But that's not enough. And they really didn't understand the purpose of the Vedas. Of course, even in the Rig Veda, it's stated that the purpose, you know, it's pretty, once one has the guidance of an acharya, it's pretty easy to understand the purpose of the Vedas. Once one reads the Bhagavad Gita, it's pretty easy to understand. I mean, even in the Rig Veda, which I was just going to quote, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Pada Pashanti Yat Surya. That's the Rig Veda. Every single Brahmana accepts the Rig Veda. It says what? Om Tad Vishnu Paramam. The abode of Vishnu, or Vishnu is something, you know, Vishnu Param Padam, transcendental. And the demigods, or those who are pious, or those who are good, are looking towards that. So they just don't understand. And the Bhagavad Gita, of course, has so many verses that indicate that. One verse is, which I wrote down, in the beginning of the 15th chapter, which is really interesting. I'll read the translation. This the first verse in the 15th chapter actually talks about the material world and talks about what it means to be the knower of the Vedas. It says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree which has its roots upward and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. In other words, if you understand that this material world, just giving a purport to this verse, if you know that this material world is a reflection of the spiritual realm, once you understand that, then you actually know the purpose of the Vedas. I mean, of course, you really need to expand on that a little bit. But what you see here in this world, these relationships, they're there in the spiritual world, but not centered, self-centered, but they're centered on pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything is there, I guess even cats in the spiritual world, but everything is there in the spiritual world that we have here, but it's all centered on pleasing Krishna. There's loving relationships. There's people who are married. No sannyasis, though. I guess I'm not going there. Gargamuni, what? He was married. He was married. No sannyasis in the spiritual world. Now, in Krishna's pastimes, when Krishna is here during, you know, his leela, yes, there are sannyasis there. But in the spiritual world, there's no place for sannyasis. So that's why I have to stay here. There's no place for sannyasis. Anyway, so, but basically, you know, you see, we have relationships. We like relating with people. We like taking prasadam. We like doing all these things. And that's there in the spiritual world too, rather than the spiritual world being a negation of this world. Or, like in the case of the brahmanas, they want to go to Swarga. That's generally their particular goal, according to the Bhagavad Gita. They're going to the heavenly planets. But the problem with that is, shane punye marcha lokam, what, pishanti? That after some time, they come down from Swarga. I mean, that's not the only problem. There's a lot of anxiety there, too, when the demons start attacking and all sorts of things like that. So, therefore, how does one get to understand the purpose of the Vedas? And the answer is actually in the Upanishads, in the Mundaka Upanishad. Tad vigyanartum sa gurum eva abhigacchet, right? That one, in order Vigyanartha Salguru, if one wants to understand, have realization, Vigyanartha Salguru Meva Bigachet, it is imperative that one approaches a spiritual preceptor or guru in this particular case. And Prabhupada was sometimes a Vigachet, he would talk about that word. He said that word is in the imperative. In other words, you gotta do it. There is no other way, you know, kalo nisteva, 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 gati aranyata. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. And in the Vedic literatures also it's stated, this isn't one of the other Upanishads, and I forget this, I think it's, this is, in, I forget which Upanishad, Acharyavan Purusho Veda. Actually, this is an interesting quote, which Prabhupada often would quote. So which Upanishad is it in? I forget right now. It means one who associates with the Acharya, even if they're not educated, Prabhupada says, gets knowledge of self-realization. So by association with the Acharya. Of course, in the case of the Brahmanas, I found it quite interesting. They were attributing their newly found realization to the cowherd boys, but it was actually due to their wives. Association with their wives. Let's see. Anyway, that's what it says in one of the commentaries. But it was actually due to their wives that they actually had this newly found realization. So for them, as previously mentioned, the guru for them was were their wives. And their wives gave them Krishna consciousness because that's how you get understanding and bhakti. As Mother Imla was talking yesterday, that bhakti doesn't come. And of course, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions this quite a bit. Bhakti doesn't come from Krishna. Krishna doesn't give bhakti. Bhakti is independent. Bhakti resides in the heart of the devotees. Therefore, we have this poem, Krishna Se Tumar Krishna Dite Par, that Krishna is yours. You have the power to give him. And it's given by the association of the pure devotee. And that's why the statement in the fifth canto is made, Mahat Seva Mahurvi Muktes, that when you associate or serve a great soul, then you get, you know, here it's Bhimuktes, liberation, but actually it's Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, Tamodwaram Yoshitu Sangi Sangam, if one associates or serves a materialist, then that's it, finished. So, and if one does that and follows the direction of the spiritualist, then one automatically understands everything that comes preliminarily. And that's why yesterday I made mention of that verse, Ahobat Swat Pachato Garyan Yajiva Gravartate Namatupyam Tapus Tapus Jehovah Shashnaraya Ramanucha Nama Granantiyate. In this verse it states how wonderful, you know, aho means amazing, wonderful, ecstatic. How wonderful it is that even if someone is born Swapachato Garyan in a family of dog eaters, not cat eaters, don't worry. Then if he's chanting the holy names, it's understood that he's performed all these preliminary activities and understood everything and come to the platform of devotional service. Anyway, I have so many other things I wanted to say, but what can be done? All glorious news, divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Gauravananda.
Govindam Adi Purusham Namaham Bhajami Govindam Adi Purusham Namaham Bhajami Govindam Adi Purusham Namaham Bhajami Nam kan gandhar mai. sundarangam kandar ako itamaniya isesa soba.
Hey, Kakeyamara, Thy Bible, Adinam Sankirtane. To me Kripa Kore, Shadabindu Deha, Deho Krishna Namata. To me kripa kore jadavendu deha deha krishna namadane krishna se tumara krishna de paro tumara chakrate ashay Krishna se tumara Krishna dite paro tumara chakrate ashay Amito kangala Krishna Krishna bore Dayitava Bache Bache Amito Kangala Krishna Krishna Bole Dayitava Bache Bache Oh hey, Vaishnava Thakura Kalyan Sagar Ida Se Karuna Kori Oh hey, Vaishnava Thakura Kalyan Sagar Ida Se Karuna Kori Dia Sada Jaya Jodhare Amaya Tomara Sharana Rave Dia Bada Jaya Jodhare Amaya Tomara Sharana Jaya Sri Radhe, Jaya Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Paravatakacharya, also Jada, Satashi, Shimad, His Divine Grace, Vaya Chadanada, Bhaktivananda, Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Nandakoti, Vaishnav, Vrinda, Ki Jai, Namacharya Shidavidas Thakur Kijai Prem Sai Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Purabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivin Nikijai Shishi Radhakrishna Govagovada Shai Vakunda Radhakunda Gidi Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagadavasami Kijai Yubudamai Kijai Shrimati Lasi Devi Gijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Om. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sai Guru Shrimati Bhakta Padaya Swami Stays as Rabbi Vishnu Sasas and Rabbi Vishnu O venerable Vaishnava, O ocean of mercy, be merciful unto your servant. Give me the shade of your lotus feet and purify me. I hold on to your lotus feet. Teach me to control my six passions, rectify my six faults, bestow upon me the six qualities, and offer unto me the six kinds of holy association. I do not find the strength to carry on alone the sankirtan of the holy name of Hari. Please bless me by giving me just one drop of faith with which to obtain the great treasure of the holy name of Krishna. Krishna is yours. You have the power to give him to me. I'm simply running behind you, shouting, Krishna, Krishna. Okay. Shikshashtika. Shreya Kaira Vichandrika. Vidyavada Jivanam Anandam Buddhi. Bhagavani Jasarva Chatish Chapitani Matas Tadrasi.